It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Laurie Fisher and cinematographer Cameron Shaw. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely morning. It's very nice out there, but we do hope you can at least be near a radio or a phone enough to listen to our show, which, after all, is a audience participation quiz program. So what we are looking for is your participation. That's very, very important. We always love to hear from you, and we do hope you will call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We'll be covering just about every subject, and we're going to leave that up to you a little bit. But we do want to hear from you. So please give us a call as soon as you can. We do want to get you on early. We don't like anybody leaving anybody on the phone toward the end of the show. So please give us a call soon, 415-841-4134, or toll free, 866-798-8255. You'll be hearing some of our questions momentarily, but if you have one of your own, that is fine too. Also want to remind you, we do have an email address, which you can use during the show or any other time. That is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. You know, again, you can use that during the show if you don't want to call. But give us a call first. We always like to hear your voice. Also, if you'd like to hear us in live stream, that is kalw.org. And of course, the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our program today. And that will also be at kalw.org and many other places, but start with KALW. I'm sure it would be appreciated. All right. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Cameron Shaw is doing the show today without the benefit of coffee, which is usually a bad idea. Still, she's awake, I think.
I am. I'm technically awake. It's true. Laurie wrote this intro before he knew my intro. So much to his surprise, Laurie Fisher discovered that today, June 8th, is officially National Oopsie Daisy Day, which asks that all of us make a conscious effort to turn our usually grumpy mornings around with at least a little enthusiasm. He trusts that all of us will be doing our best to celebrate in just this way.
I hope so.
And I mean,
don't have coffee.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. And we'll know in an hour. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, has been waiting and waiting for the twain. It looks like they're never going to meet.
Yep. Nobody showed up. Oh, well. And we'll begin the questioning with Cameron Shaw.
Okay. Well, I have a couple. In honor of the 80th anniversary of D-Day a couple days ago, I have a couple of World War II era questions. I don't have any list questions for you guys today, so I'm just going to go with these two. First, the Purple Heart medals, and I want to give my brother a shout out for giving me this question. The Purple Heart medals that are currently being awarded were all produced for what military operation, which was subsequently canceled? So the actual physical medals were all produced in World War II, and they're still being given out because they were not needed as many as they thought they would be needed. So the Purple Heart medals that are currently being awarded were all produced for what military operation, which was subsequently canceled?
The operation was canceled.
Yes.
And therefore they have the Purple Hearts, and these are the same ones they're giving out now.
Yes.
All right. Wow.
Yes. Minted in 1945. And then
that's a hint. Yeah.
Well, perhaps 1944, but, you know, the end. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Joe, do you have a guest?
I don't have a guest that wouldn't sound really ill-informed, so I'll let you take it. What do you have?
Well, I just have a guess. So when you say a military operation that was canceled, I'm going to guess that it was canceled because the war ended.
Yes.
So does it have anything to do with the invasion of Japan?
It is the actual invasion of Japan. Excellent. All right. Excellent work.
Really good.
Yeah, they expected up to 500,000, if not more, or perhaps more casualties, and ended up with none. So,
my father was going to be a part of that.
Really? So,
yeah. Yes. He was being trained. He was a bomber pilot, and he was being trained to be part of that.
Wow.
So do you know how many medals they produced that they still have?
I believe that they produced, well, actually, I don't know the exact number of medals that they produced. As of 2003, which was quite some time ago, there were 120,000 remaining.
Wow.
So, you know, we haven't had that many casualties since then, so I would assume there are quite a few still.
Okay. Yeah. Great question.
And I should point out that Peter sent me an email that also got that answer. So thank you, Peter.
Oh, thank you, Peter. I have another World War II question.
Yes, go ahead.
Save it for later if you'd like. Okay.
All right. No, go ahead.
Okay. Who was both the oldest soldier to land on the beach at Normandy and the only general to have his son land as well? And this is not just some random dude. It's somebody you've probably heard of.
It's the same person. You're asking for one person, right?
Yes.
The oldest general and the only general to have a son land on D-Day.
Yes, he's the oldest of any kind of soldier, and he asked to be put on the beach at Normandy.
Go ahead, Dana. I don't know.
Well, if I remember my movie, The Longest Day, correctly, was that Theodore Roosevelt Jr.?
It was. Gosh, Dana. Yes, it was.
Played by Henry Fonda, by the way, in the movie.
Henry Fonda,
really?
Yes. Yeah, Theodore Roosevelt Jr., and he died a month later of a heart attack.
Yes, he was. He shouldn't have been there because he had bad arthritis.
Yeah,
but he talked his way into it.
So he was the general, and his son was also at D-Day.
Yes.
Wow.
Interesting. I know. Interesting.
Yeah,
it is interesting.
All right. All well, I'm cleared out for now, so I'll wait.
All right, and then Laura, you go ahead.
Well, mine is much more mundane. It with the Tonys coming up, and in a way to celebrate Pride Week a little bit, it's adjacent. I was looking at who has been nominated for the best musical, and two of the shows are just one-word titles. One is Illinois, and one is Suffs. So I looked into the list of Tony Award-winning musicals that just have one word in the title, and I'm looking for the nine of them that won before 1980. Okay, so these, and I'll give you some hints. Oklahoma didn't win because there were no Tony Awards that early. And other ones that you might guess, like Gypsy and Oliver, really popular, really good, they didn't win. So I'm looking for nine titles that won, all before 1980. I'll give you two each.
Okay. All right. Give me the basic category. Question.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm looking for Tony Awards for Best Musical that have one-word titles.
I see.
And they won, and they were all before 1980. And give you two each. And I think Joanne was guessing Cats. Cats was a little too late. Cats was 1983. So it's just before that. All pretty well known. Okay. I'll give you a hint later on.
Is Chicago, does Chicago fall in there anyway?
It did not.
Oh, it didn't win?
Yeah, I don't know if it didn't win, but it might have been later. I stopped my list at 1990, so I have all of them, but I'm only looking before 1980.
Well, I think the original Chicago run was in the 70s, so
Then it didn't win. Or I
so I'm sorry, this is between...
The first one is 1954, and the last one is 1980 of the list that I'm using, otherwise it'd be too long.
Yeah.
How about Cabaret?
Cabaret did win in 1967, very good. We're a bell for that one. Keep going.
Okay. That presumes a lot.
How about Camelot?
Oh. Camelot did not win.
Hmm.
How about Annie?
Annie did win, 1977. Very good. Okay.
Okay.
I think this might be too early, but Brigadoon?
Brigadoon did not win, surprisingly. Or if it did, it was too early. Hmm. I think it was before 1954, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
Hmm.
So 1954 to 80.
All right.
Okay. And it's, I'll leave the hints for later. Anyway, so I'm looking for Tony Awards that won for Best Musical that have a one-word title. Cameron got Cabaret and Annie, both correct. And they have to be between 1954 and 1980 as my arbitrary dates of doing this.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Peter Seymour calling first. Hey, listen, this is exciting. Just to mention, you know this song, the one that refers to your went to Saratoga, your horse naturally won, then you flew your Learjet to Nova Scotia to see the total eclipse of the sun. You know
you're
that
so
song.
Vain. You're so vain, huh? Right?
You're so vain
is the song, yeah.
Carly Simon. And this year, we did have a total eclipse of the sun over Nova Scotia earlier this year. You know that.
Yes.
We heard.
And today, there's going to be a race in Saratoga. Do you know?
Yes.
That's, in fact, it's today. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's the Belmont Stakes, I believe.
Yes. Yes. Why are they doing it in Saratoga?
Oh, there was something at the track that it's usually at was damaged or some repair.
Yes,
something
they're doing renovations on the one along on the Belmont Stakes. So it's going to be in Saratoga. So that's a nice little coincidence that both things mentioned in the Carly Simon song are going to happen this year.
He's a prophet.
And anyway, let's talk about, you remember Secretariat, that famous race? What was the most famous race when Secretariat won the Triple Crown?
Don't know.
You mean
what year was that? You don't remember?
No, I don't follow horse racing at all.
I don't much at all.
Yeah, it was 1973. Do you know how many lengths Secretariat won by? It's pretty famous.
Is this the Kentucky Derby we're talking about, or one of the other?
No, we're talking about the Belmont Stakes.
Okay.
It won the Triple Crown, and Secretariat won by how many lengths?
I'll open the bidding with 8 lengths.
8? Forget it. It's much more than that.
Oh, wow.
It was 31 lengths. So it was 248 feet. In
wow.
other words, 80 yards. That's a large of a distant throw for an NFL quarterback, 80 yards. Secretariat was that far ahead of the second place horse. You know, I get it. In other words, you know, talk about winning by a nose. Secretariat won by like a football field, essentially.
Wow.
You could have taken a photo finish from, a 747 and known Secretariat won. Anyway, I'm just trying to get. I was going to ask. So you're not going to know this, the second place horse. Who was the one who? No. This is the interesting thing, and this is something you might know. Secretariat. They didn't knew this until Secretariat died, and they did a necropsy. How much? What did they find out about Secretariat's actual heart, the size of Secretariat's heart?
I don't know. It was twice as big as a normal heart.
Yeah, or twice.
But 2.5 times larger.
Very close.
You know, how do you feel sorry? The second place horse was called Twice a Prince. I just feel sorry for that one who's 31 lengths behind. He's like, how do you expect me to win? Secretariat's horse is that's quite an advantage to be able to pump around that much more oxygen. 2.5 times.
Yes.
You talk about performance enhancing drugs. Skip the drugs. I got 2.5 times the size of a heart. Anyway,
right.
just a genetic. You want to genetically engineer your thoroughbreds. Forget about the
All
drugs.
Right.
Take
you,
it easy.
Bye bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Okay, let me give you a couple questions here. I have a list of the four highest grossing black and white films of all time in the United States. What do you think they are? What are the four highest grossing black and white films of all time in the United States? I'll give you one guess each.
Wow.
Hey, I have a clarification question. Does it need to be entirely black and white?
I feel like you have a point of contention here, and why don't you tell me what it is?
I would, because my first thought was Oppenheimer being very recently released and amassing bajillions of dollars, but it's only partially black and white.
Yes, no, that would not count.
Okay, well,
and The Wizard of Oz would be in that category too.
Oh, definitely, yes. But this would have to be, all these films are black and white with one extremely small, tiny little exception, okay. But they're all black and white, done okay. On black and white stock.
I'm going to say your extremely small, tiny exception is Schindler's List.
That is correct. That is one.
That's really
and you,
good.
You remember the girl in the red coat.
Yes.
Yeah. How about, could it be a film? I don't think this is it, but you mentioned a few minutes ago, The Longest Day, and that was black and white, and that was a success.
Oh, well, that did very well, but no, yeah. It's not one of the four. Anyway.
Okay.
So again, what are the four highest grossing black and white films of all time in the United States?
Are they all American films?
They're all American films, and they're all very well-known American films, too, if I may add.
I have one more guess, if I may. How about... Yeah. Just thinking in the same pattern of more recent black and white films. How about The Artist, which won the Academy Award?
The Artist is just out of the top four. So it wasn't a runaway financial success. I mean, it did pretty well, but not as well as these others.
Is it wise for us to think more contemporary than from the 40s?
There are no films from the 40s on this list.
Okay.
Just saying
Joanne is guessing Manhattan.
Okay. Manhattan is one of them. Yes.
Oh, nice work, Joanne. Great.
So, again, the four highest grossing black and white films of all time in the United States. We have Schindler's List and Manhattan. See if you can come up with the other two. All right. So I guess I think I'm going to give you a couple movie questions, you know, the different movie questions today. Second question, what are the three high, the 30s is generally thought of as the most creative decade in film. What are the three highest grossing films of the 1930s?
Wow.
And they're all extremely well known, of course, or I wouldn't ask the question. But what are the three highest grossing films of the 1930s? Two of them, I should say, made a lot of money in reissues. The third one, not.
Okay.
So,
my first impulse would be Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind is number one, obviously.
And then The Wizard of Oz? Is that
no.
A reason? No, okay. 1930s.
So what are the three highest grossing films of the 1930s? Gone with the Wind is number one. What are the other two on that list? Both very well known.
Okay.
How about,
all right. Go ahead if you have a guess.
I don't really know if this would be a high grosser. What about Mutiny on the Bounty?
That did very well, but not the highest in the top.
Okay.
All right, I will give you one more movie-related question. Who was the first, so not the second or the third, who was the first Academy Award-winning actor or actress to play a title character with the last name of a president?
Okay, but not necessarily playing the president.
No, just happened to have the last name, same last name.
Okay. President.
Is that true?
Who was the first Academy Award-winning actor or actress to play a title character with the last name of a president? Now, no relation to the president, just happened to have the same last name.
So,
title character.
So the actor doesn't have the same last name, the title character does.
Correct.
Okay.
And this is the title character of the film.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And this is somebody who won.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it an American president?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not a Croatian president or anything.
Okay.
Once in a while, I'll just go over these questions very quickly. Who was the first Academy Award-winning actor or actress to play a title character with the last name of a president, though no relation to the president, that particular president?
How about Mildred Pierce?
That's correct.
Sorry to interrupt.
That's great.
Mildred Pierce.
Yeah. Joanne had a guess on the 30s grossing film. She guessed It Happened One Night as one of the top grossing films.
That is not one.
Okay.
Again, what are the three highest grossing films of the 1930s? So far we have Gone with the Wind. What are the other two on that list? And I'm looking for the four highest grossing black and white films of all time in the United States. So far we have Schindler's List and Manhattan. What are the other two on that list? All right, I'll give you one more. Name all the countries, and I'm not going to tell you how many. Name all the countries in which the last name Smith is the most common surname.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Name all the countries in which the last name Smith is the most common surname.
Go ahead, Kim.
All right. I'm going to start with the UK.
One guess. Yes, the UK is correct. So there's your one guess. Lori?
That was what was on my mind. So I'm going to hold. No, that's good. I'm going to hold off. I'll leave it to the audience.
Okay.
I might come up with something later.
The last question I asked. Name all the countries, I'm not going to tell you how many, name all the countries in which Smith, S-M-I-T-H, is the most common surname.
Yes. All right.
All right. Ellen had a nice guess about the actress and the last name of the president. She guessed Alice Adams, which is a great guess, but unfortunately Katharine Hepburn, although she was nominated for that, she didn't win for that, so... I like that cat. And all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert in Bernal Heights. Karen is off leading a hike on the Crosstown Trail, so just me this morning. So first, I doubt this would qualify, but I'm wondering if the highest grossing black and white film would be something by Jim Jarmusch. Probably way too offbeat, but Stranger Than Paradise and I think Down by Law were both black and white.
They were, but no, your sense of film is so refined that I'm afraid he's a little too hipster, I guess. Yeah, as Cameron said.
So I have a question for y'all. Which is, what do Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, and Lyndon LaRouche have in common? And I can throw in a third name that would, I think, give it away.
Interesting. Joe Exotic and Lyndon LaRouche. Does this have anything to do with documentaries?
No.
Okay.
Does this have notorious behavior rather than something good?
Well, they both went to jail.
You're on the right track with going to jail.
Or
they did while in jail.
Ooh.
Did they run for president?
They did.
Joe Exotic ran for president?
He did.
He did.
How did he do? He did pretty well, right?
And the third name I would throw in is Eugene V. Debs.
Right. Oh, that, yeah.
Oh, well, that would have given it away.
That would have given it away.
Yeah, I can't believe I wasted my vote when Joe Exotic was running for president. Interesting.
That's so great.
Another quick timely question for you. The composer or co-composer of what's called the most performed song of all time died recently. Do you know who that was and what the song was? And this, I saw numerous articles that all said the same thing, the most performed song of all times, and I'm somewhat reluctant to tell you the name of the song because you won't get it out of your head.
It's a Small World.
Exactly.
It's the Sherman, one of the Sherman brothers. I forget which one is it. Is it Richard that just sang?
Richard, yeah. He wrote the most pernicious earworm of all time.
Yeah, no, I recall going to the when they had it originally at the what was it, the New York World's Fair? I'm old enough to have done that. Yes, and hearing it.
Well, I'm so sorry for you.
I'm stunned. I'm stunned. It's not Happy Birthday. I thought that was the most performed song of all time.
She's much older, the person who wrote that.
No, I think it's because it's on a continuous. It's continuously, right?
Yeah. At Disneyland,
over and over again every day.
Right.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, thank you all.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good question.
All right. Bye bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to hear from you with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. Just to remind you, you can also send us email at mindsovermatter1, that's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1 at gmail.com. You are listening to us on, no secret here, 91.7 FM, that is KALW, your local public radio station. Our panel would be Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer, Lori Fisher, teacher at Davo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And Cameron, I think it's your turn.
Okay. In what film, and this is, I feel like I'm just pitching you softballs today, Dana, but in what film did two women first kiss on screen?
Well, in a romantic sense?
Not really, no.
Oh.
You mean on the lips?
Yes.
But was it kind of like mother-daughter affectionate or more serious than that?
No, it was sort of part of a, it's more performative than that. It was not between relations, no.
I can think of numerous examples, but is it an American film? Can I ask you that?
No, well, the director is not American. I don't honestly know where the money behind it came from, but.
Is it a silent film?
No.
Okay. So it's way after the silent era.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. There's one with called Queen Christina with Garbo and I can't remember the other actress who she kisses, but that's the 1933. That's a female to female kiss.
It's slightly earlier than that.
Slightly earlier. There's a German film called Mädchen in Uniform with lesbian overtones, 1931. This is not a silent film, though?
No.
A well-known film?
I think to Dana, but to nobody else. Well-known film to Dana, and I mean, I've heard of it. I have not personally seen it, but
there's the film Morocco with Dietrich, where she goes out to the, she's singing a song, goes out to the audience, and in a provocative way, kisses one of the audience members.
That is the information I have. Yes,
all right.
Morocco starring Marina Dietrich and an uncredited actress as the audience.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who the actress is.
I think I couldn't find a name for the other woman, so
okay.
I don't think she was known. Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Give us another question because
okay.
We answered all yours.
Okay. Let's see. This July 4th celebrates the 100th anniversary of what dish created originally in Mexico? And I could give you some hints, but I will refrain at the moment.
So it's principally known for being popular outside of Mexico?
It is popular the world over, I would say, at the moment.
And it's a dish... So it's a meal. It's not a side. Is that a side dish or a real meal?
I think you could have it be either.
And do we associate it now with Mexican cuisine?
I certainly did not.
No. Oh, you did not?
I did not.
Oh. And do we associate it with July 4th? Is that kind of the hint? Like
no.
It's okay, not the July 4th is just a coincidence?
Yes, so it was created out of necessity when there was a huge July 4th rush at this restaurant.
At this restaurant.
They threw together the ingredients they had.
In Mexico.
Mexico.
Yeah.
So they would sell this food item, mm-hmm. for instance, they would serve this food item at non-Mexican restaurants.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Huh. So it was done out of necessity with leftovers, probably something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are fresh ingredients in it as well, but things that they had on.
And it could be a main course or a side dish, you said, right?
Yeah. I would eat it as a main course for lunch, but probably not dinner personally. But
Joanne's guessing potato salad.
Not potato salad, but she's in the right ballpark.
That's Irish. Isn't it?
I think so. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah,
this is going to be. It's going to be a surprise that it's Mexico, right? Is that what you're telling us?
Okay, give it the one more.
Okay. This July 4th celebrates the 100th anniversary of the creation of what dish invented in Mexico?
And do you eat when you eat it, or when I eat it? Do I eat it hot or cold, or both?
I do not personally eat it, and if you know anything about the things I'm allergic to, that is a big hint. But I'm not gonna go there.
We have a guest from Nancy who's wondering if it's Caesar salad.
It is Caesar salad, Nancy.
There you go, Nancy.
Really?
Good job.
Yes. Yeah, I heard that on the radio yesterday and thought it was noteworthy. So,
All right.
Yeah, wouldn't have guessed
Nancy?
It.
If me may not know this, but where in Mexico was it?
In Tijuana at a restaurant where the I believe the owner's name was Caesar. So so it's nothing to do with Julius Caesar, which I
always thought it did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. It's Sandra. Hello, that's me and Danny.
Hi,
he's
Sandra.
Over there.
Hello.
From Albany. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry, our smoke alarm just went off, so I'm a little frazzled.
No.
We can take
no it. Reason. No reason whatsoever.
It's because your brain is so hot.
Yeah, it can't be our show. That's
the gears are grinding, and my brain is smoking.
All right. So what you got?
Hey, Lori, I have a couple of best musical questions.
Great.
So I wonder if you think 1776 is one word.
I'm counting it because it's on my list, and my hint was going to be that one of them is a number. And I think it is one word, so I'm giving you definitely a bell on that. In 1969, very good.
I may not agree with it being the best musical.
Oh,
by the way,
I may not agree
that it's one word. So we're good.
Not one of my favorites. So
yeah.
I'm really hoping that like Carousel isn't on the list. Another,
it's
Lily or Lily. Oh my God. Okay, so stop with the ones I don't like. How I'm guessing Company.
Company is on the list, 1971.
Yay!
Great.
And if I remember correctly, Follies is not.
Polly's is not. That's also no bell for that, but you're correct, it's not.
And did you say before 80, or does 80 count?
80 counts. What
Evita,
do you got?
Don't Evita cry for me, 1980.
Oh, man, that's great. Excellent.
And my last long shot, I really don't. Oh, no, I had two long shots. I really don't think Pippin won.
Pippin did not win.
And I don't know that Hare won.
Hare lost out to 1776, oddly enough, in 1969. So.
Wow. Talk about your polar opposites there.
Yeah. Talk amongst yourselves. Yeah.
Looking
yes.
back and looking forward.
Yeah.
hey, so, Dana, the most popular movies in the 30s, I don't have one. I have a category that I'm going to ask. Is it
All
a
right.
Shirley Temple movie?
Oh.
No Shirley Temple movies.
Okay, well, so much for me. What else do we have, honey?
Let's see, what do I have? Oh, the black and white films. I was wondering if Psycho might be one.
Psycho is one. Very good.
Oh, right. Yes. Well, nice. And From Here to Eternity was my other thought.
Or not Dr. From Here Strangelove. To Eternity. Nope.
But, yeah, Dr. Strangelove, I think, only kind of gained in popularity after the fact. I do, Cameron, I think, I know your Mexican dish answer. You got it?
Oh, yeah, somebody got it. But
oh, yeah,
while our smoke alarm was
while I was sprinting upstairs... Yes. Did anybody mention that it was Cesar Cardini was the actual name of the guy?
So yeah,
we'll give you
right.
the bell for that.
That's
yeah.
the name of the guy.
Yeah,
good
he,
job.
Yeah, he moved from Italy to California in 1910 and then went to Tijuana. And I don't know why I know that. To cleanse everybody's brains of It's a Small World, what's the most recorded song in history? The one that's been recorded the most times.
By the most different people?
By the most different people.
So the most time. So there are two things there. The most times by the most different people.
Yeah.
Is it a Beatles song?
It is not.
Okay. Is it? It must be earlier than the Beatles.
It is, in fact, yes. earlier than the Beatles.
And I'm sure Lori and Dana both know it well.
Is it a Christmas song?
No.
No.
Would it be considered a standard song?
Absolutely.
So if I said, for instance, Melancholy Baby, would that be?
You could say that, but this is not the answer to this.
That's not it, okay.
But is it more Melancholy Baby than Yesterday? Is it more from that Great American Songbook era?
Yes, it's Great American Songbook. It would be in anybody's top 10 list in the Great American Songbook.
Is it? It's nothing to do with a holiday.
Nope.
No, actually.
Okay.
Has it been in a bunch of movies?
Yes.
Is it? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, so, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
No, but I can also tell you that the composer has also been in a number of movies, and I think I'm not sure if the composer actually sang this in any movie. I can't bring one to mind, but it's entirely possible.
So the composer, the lyric writer, him or herself, has been a performer in the movies.
Yes. And I must say, a very appealing performer.
I agree.
I am a big fan.
Yeah. That should be a big enough hint.
It should be.
Yeah. Is this person better known, the person you're referring to, as words and music, or just the lyrics?
Both.
Both. All right.
Hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, he, I will give you he, operated alone. He didn't have a partner, generally.
Is it Irving Berlin?
Nope.
He has a very odd name, first name.
Hoagy Carmichael.
Absolutely, and the song?
Stardust.
Absolutely.
Oh, nice.
That is... I'm happy. I'm very happy to know that. That
right. That's good. It's a good answer.
You know, strength.
Real first name, Hoagland, actually. Hoagland Carmichael.
Hoagland. Well, oh, well, that, everybody knows that name.
All right. well, that's all we got. I wanted to say, Dana, my dad was also about ready to ship off to Japan when the war ended. He was on Okinawa, and we were all very happy about that.
Yeah.
Made a kind of an awkward relationship with the atom bomb, because I might not actually be talking to you today if things had gone otherwise. So there we go. Happy day.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Good question about Hoagie Carmichael. That was nice. He was into have and have not, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And we are past halfway in the show, so let's quickly repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Cameron, start with you.
I have nothing that's not been answered because...
Okay. Your questions are too easy then, I guess.
Well, maybe. I have to up my game.
For you. I'm still looking for the Tony Award for Best Musical. They have a one-word title. We have Evita Annie Company, 1776 Cabaret. I'm looking for four more, and that is all I have.
All right. I'm asking for all the countries in which the name Smith, S-M-I-T-H, is the most common last name. Name all the countries in which Smith is the most common last name. And I have a list of the four highest grossing black and white films of all time in the United States. So far we have Schindler's List, Manhattan, and Psycho. We're missing one film.
Can I guess on the one?
Yes, you can guess.
How about Dr. Strangelove?
That's a perfectly logical guess, but it's not Dr. Strangelove.
Okay.
Again, the four highest grossing black and white films of all time in the U.S. So far we have Schindler's List, Manhattan, and Psycho. There's one left on that list. And I'm looking for the three highest grossing films of the 1930s. Obviously, Gone with the Wind is number one. What are the other two? Both extremely well-known films. One has been reissued several times. The other has not. Not in a general way. And let's see. I think that's it. Okay. And Laurie, I think it's your turn.
All right. Well, we are still in Pride Month, and I've been encouraged to ask some Pride questions. So I found a list of Billboard magazines, what they call the greatest gay anthems of all time. And I have two separate questions. One is a list. I'm going to give you three women performers who are in the top five. I want to know what songs are their anthems that are considered in the top five gay anthems. Diana Ross, Madonna, and Lady Gaga. If you get those, I have a different follow-up question. So as top five anthems, gay anthems, Diana Ross, Madonna, and Lady Gaga. I'll give you one guess each for each of them if you get them. Ooh.
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
Diana Ross, I would assume, is I'm Coming Out.
It is. Okay. Very good. Dana, what do you got?
So I'm sorry. The other two are Lady Gaga and...
And Madonna.
No.
I don't know. Madonna, you could use a lot of different Madonna songs, can't you? Vogue.
Vogue is it.
All right.
All right. And then the Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga is going to be born this way.
It is. All right. Then let me ask one follow-up here. Also in the top five is It's Raining Men. I want to know the name of the group that recorded it and the name of the famous person who wrote it.
Okay. Oh, that's the Weather Girls. I know
it
that.
It is the Weather Girls.
And Paul Schaefer.
Oh, man. Very good. All right. Give you one more then. Elton John's all-time best-selling single.
Gosh.
Well, it seems like it would be Candle in the Wind, frankly.
It is. It very much in this genre. Okay. I don't know that it's anthem-like, right, but it was on the list somewhere.
Don't have to turn in my gay card.
you got an extra punch in your card.
Do you know if it became the best-selling single after Princess Diana died and he rewrote it for her?
Yes.
That's conceivable, yes.
Yeah, it sort of had two. It was successful for Marilyn Monroe, and then it was reconceived and re-released. So that's when it became his best-selling
song.
Right. Very good, gang.
And if you'd like to join us with a question or answer, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Okay, I'll give you a short question here. what movie star, and this person was going to be a future movie star at this particular point. What movie star produced the first Broadway play to feature gay male content? What movie star, and this person would be a movie star, but in the future from this particular event, produced the first Broadway play to feature gay male content? So the play was closed down after several performances by the authorities, by the way.
And did it ever get revived and become popular?
It did get revived many, many, many years later.
Can you give us a decade that it happened in? Or is that?
I think I will not at the moment.
So it's not as well known as Boys in the Band. It's going to be way before that.
No, right? No. Yeah, it's before that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this person produced it and later became a movie star.
Yes. This movie star, this future movie star, future at the point then when this was done, produced the first Broadway play to feature gay male content. So who is this person?
And is he known as being gay to us today?
He or she was not.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
All right.
I don't know. Wow.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. This is Paul from Marin.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. I could tell from the earlier question about Secretariat that you guys aren't too much up on sports movies. I mean, sports, but I have some questions about sports movies.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a little bit better. Yeah. There you go.
Okay. By the way, the two movies that you're looking for, the black and white movies, would that be Citizen Kane and On the Waterfront?
Neither one, no.
Oh, okay. Guesses.
Okay. Okay, so sports movies. We're looking at sports movies in the Oscars, and so those are just the Best Picture and Acting nominations. Could mm-hmm. you tell me what are the five most nominated sports? That is a sport in which is a central theme of the movie.
So just not necessarily winners, just nominated.
And this is for best
nominated sports.
For best picture.
Any best picture or any acting nomination. We're not talking about direction or musical score or those things. Yeah. Just best picture and the acting nominations.
How about baseball then?
Yeah.
Baseball is one of the five, but not the top most nominated.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, let's back up a little bit here, and you could probably tell me what sports movies have won Best Picture.
Chariots of Fire is one. Yes.
How about boxing? Sorry.
That's a great guess.
I don't know of any boxing. Did Raging Bull win, Dana?
No.
Okay. Not Best Picture.
Well, we're talking about nominated, right? Just nominated?
No, the winner for Best Picture.
I'm sorry. Okay.
You're looking for the winners of Best Pictures that were sports movies. We have just Chariots of Fire, right?
Yes.
So, okay, I'll just make a couple guesses in terms of the general sport. You said baseball was in the top five. I don't think football would be in the top five. But I could
football
be wrong about that. Is it in the top five, really?
The top five for nominations, yes.
How about tennis or golf? Tennis, golf, and boxing.
Tennis or golf.
What'd you say? What's the answer?
Not tennis, not golf. But yes, boxing is number one with most nominated sport movie.
Okay.
Sorry.
Best picture winners.
Well, how about Gladiator? Does that count?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's interesting. Yeah. You don't count fight to the death. Huh?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So boxing is number one, and you want to know how many boxing pictures have actually won for?
I will tell you that 30 movies about boxing have been nominated.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Boxing as a sport has been nominated 30 times, as a sport movie has been nominated for 30 Oscars. So that could be best picture, best actress, best supporting actor, that kind of thing.
So well, Joanne guesses Rocky, which of course is a very good guess.
Rocky is a best picture winner. Yes, that's one of the three best picture winners. And the other one? So Chariots of Fire, Rocky, and...
But it doesn't have to be boxing, this last one.
It doesn't have to be.
And Raging Bull didn't win. Somebody up there likes me didn't win. Dana, The Great White Hope didn't win, did it?
No, but I think that was nominated for Best Picture.
I think
it was.
But
it didn't win.
Yeah.
It did. It was nominated for Best Picture, yes.
The Champ. The Champ.
The Champ had a nomination, but...
I think I know it. It's Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Good. Million Dollar Baby.
All right, good job.
Million Dollar Baby. Okay, very good. Now, let's move on here. Could you tell me the winners in a sports movie for Best Actress?
Well, Hilary Swank won for Million Dollar.
Yeah, right, of course.
I couldn't hear that.
Hilary Swank.
Yes. And there's one other winner.
Did in Rocky, supporting actress, did she win?
Talia Shire? I don't think so.
No, she was nominated, but did not win.
I don't think this person won. Did Sandra Bullock win for The Blind Side?
Yes, she did. Yes, that's her second foot one. Very good.
Nice.
Let's move on to, now there's a lot of, there's been a lot of movies, and since it's a sports movie, a lot of nominations for Best Actor, but who is the winner for Best Actor for a sporting movie? Just one person.
Just one?
Yes. Recently.
Oh, recently.
Infamously, you might say.
Infamously.
Oh, yeah, Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Will Smith, of course.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he won for best for best actor from King Richard.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Now this one. Okay. I have two more if you have time. Okay. Next one is winner for best supporting actress and best supporting actor.
For a sports movie.
Movie. Yes.
Different movies?
Did Joe Pesci win for Raging Bull? See that?
He was nominated.
But he did not win.
No.
Kathy Moriarty, did she win for Raging Bull?
No, I don't
know that person.
Okay. And Rocky, nobody.
You have the right sport.
So it's boxing.
Morgan Freeman. Didn't he win a Million Dollar Baby for supporting?
He was nominated.
Okay.
No, you better tell us now, I guess.
That would be Christian Bale and Melissa Leo, both won The Fighter.
Right. Oh. Okay.
And if you can tolerate one more before we run out of time, could you tell me the movies that were, the sports movies that were nominated for both Best Actor and Best Actress? Okay, as in The Fighter, which was nominated for both supporting actor and actress and won both. But these are for Best Actor and Best Actress.
So is Pride of the Yankees one of them?
Yes, it is. Gary Cooper.
Nice. Teresa Wright and Gary Cooper. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I don't think there's anything before that. So
no.
And what is after that?
These are these are nominations, not necessarily.
Right.
Okay.
Did Robert Ryan get nominated for The Setup? I'm not sure.
That's not on my list.
Okay. And, Robert De Niro, of course, for Raging Bull.
Well, and Clint Eastwood for Million Dollar Baby didn't he?
Or
was he supporting actor?
No, I think he might have been nominated for Best Actor.
I think he
was. I don't know. Oh, well, you better fill in the blanks here for us.
Okay, all right. So nominated for Best Actor and Best Actress, one was Rocky with Sly Sloan and Talia Shire. You mentioned The Great White Hope with James Earl Jones and Jane Alexander.
Jane Alexander, okay. Yeah.
Yes. Also, The Hustler, Paul Newman and Piper Laurie were both nominated. And the last one on my list is The Sporting Life with Richard Harris.
Oh, Richard Harris and,
Roberts,
and I've never Rachel heard of that Roberts. Movie. Right.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's what I got. Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
very
all the
thorough.
Very thorough. Yeah, not right, sure. Bye-bye. Not sure pool counts as a sport, but we could argue about that later.
Thank
if pool does, I think gladiators count as a sport.
I think so too.
Yeah, yeah. I think fight to the death is another category.
Entirely. Yeah, that's probably true.
Right, and let's see. CM is wondering if the black and white film is Sin City. That's a good. I think there was a splash of color in that. But anyway, it's not on the list anyway. Maria is wondering if The Maltese Falcon is one of the black and white films, but it is not. Mm. And let's see. Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. Hello, am I on?
Yes. You are on.
I'm gonna guess on the plays.
Yes.
Yubi, by any chance?
No. Didn't win.
How about Mame?
What was it?
Mame?
No. It did not win Best Musical, I'm surprised to say.
I'm gonna try one more, Beatlemania.
Oh, great guess, but that's too recent. These are all before 1980.
On the movies, I don't know if these were in color or black and white, but I'm going to go for Ben-Hur.
That was definitely a color film.
Oh. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you very much. One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Katie F. calling from Allendale Park in Oakland.
Hi, Katie.
Hey. So far as the 1930s, is it She Done Him Wrong, Mae West?
No, that did very well financially, but no, that's not one of the top ones anyway.
Okay, and then so far as the black and white, I hate to even mention it, so close to Juneteenth, but Birth of a Nation?
Oh, I like that. That was an extremely profitable film, but no, it's not Birth of a Nation.
Okay, Smith, is it Canada, Australia, and the USA?
It is, let me refer to this question now. It is Canada, it is Australia, and it is the USA.
Hey, good.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Nice
and,
work.
And I wish the black and white film category included John Sayles' work or even the Battleship Potemkin, but I guess it doesn't.
No, not today.
Some other day.
All right, we have to run, but thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it.
Dana, I have one guess on the 1930s. How about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
That is indeed one. Okay, we're going to clean up here. So, Cameron, do you have anything?
I don't. No, sorry. I'll try.
Laurie, go ahead.
The four films we don't have, one word Tony winners for Best Musical are Raisin, Applause, Red Hat, and a 1954 Kismet. And that's what I have.
All right. I should say that Donald sent an email that did have the right answer for my gay content play. That was Mae West. She produced a play called Drag, and was closed down after about a week. And yes, so she did that. Very good, Donald. And that somebody, let me just get this right here. I'm sorry. Chris got the right answer to the last black and white film, which was Young Frankenstein.
I love Young Frankenstein.
So the four highest grossing black and white films of all time in the U.S., Schindler's List, Young Frankenstein, Manhattan, and Psycho. The three highest-grossing films of the 1930s, Gone with the Wind, of course, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. All the countries in which Smith is the most common last name, the U.S., Australia, the U.K., Canada, and New Zealand. I don't think anybody got New Zealand.
No.
I think that's it. If we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Thank you very much for tuning in and calling in today. Our panel, that would be Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer, Lori Fisher, teacher at Davo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Please remember to join us next Saturday at 10 a.m. We always look forward to that. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.